Welcome to Brooklyn Sut, the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage, purchase free speech for your children and grandchildren. It's the best investment that you can make. This is our Tuesday night broadcast. It is a recording, but it is the dynamic duo nonetheless.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Get out!
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers! Holy birthday cake! Holy headache! Holy ball and chain! Holy triple feature! Holy slip disc!
A man, baby!
Holy political science analyzing Brian. It is Dr. Patrick Slattery, the man bigger than life itself, analyzing politics and fighting crime. Dr. Wolf, so.
Well, thank you very much. So here we are, and it is still Tuesday night. We're just a couple hours ahead of schedule, only about 2 hours ahead. And so we don't have the most up-to-date election results, but we still have the most the hottest takes on everything.
Hottest takes in the results as of 8:11 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:11 Central, and this the race in the Virginia governor, the gubernatorial race. I mean, that's sort of what we're going to start off with covering tonight. That's the most relevant news. I had pulled up an article from NPR, that's National Propaganda Radio, and they, quite honestly, they truly did state that this election is very important. The Virginia off election sort of gives political scientists the mood of the political mood of the country. And according to NPR, it is neck and neck between the Democrat and Republican candidates. And it breaks it down here. As of... what was it? As of 6:34 p.m. Eastern Time, it's giving me this result. Youngkin, the GOP candidate, 55.8%, and McAuliffe, the Democrat candidate, 43.6%. And you've got an even better chart, and I'm going to kick it to you in a minute to do your political analysis thing.
What percent do they say is reporting?
44% in.
Okay.
And that's actually current. That's actually as of 8:12 Eastern Time.
Okay. And so the and are they saying anything about mail-in ballots, counting them later? To what extent is that an issue?
I didn't see that, but the article on NPR does state that more than 1.1 million Virginians cast early ballots under an expanding voting rules that were pushed by Democrats in the state legislature. So with Democrats controlling the legislature, I'm sure there's going to be some room for people mailing in ballots after the fact, but I have not read that. With this being so close, I'm sort of smelling a hoax that could be brewing, but more to come on that. What I do agree with NPR with is that this is an important election, and it is going to kind of give us the, if we can get a fair election here, it's going to kind of give us the political mood. And this, you know, on the heels of Loudoun County and the whole deal there with the tranny boy that went in the girl's bathroom and raped the teenage girl and sodomized her, and the outrage of the parents, the cover-up of the school board. So, I mean, all of these things, this election should be a referendum on all of these things, on critical race theory, on trannies in the bathrooms, and on COVID measures. That's what I think it should be on. Now, will we get a fair one? I don't know. Anyway, let me kick it to you. What do you got on the CBS website that you sent me? You were going to do an analysis on it.
Excuse me. So the thing is, right now, as you reported, with 40-something percent of the votes being counted, supposedly, Youngkin has the lead. Now, the real question here, and this is something I haven't been able to determine yet, maybe I'll be able to determine it later in the hour, is have these mail-in ballots, have they been counted already? Or in what counties have they been counted already? Because if these, because what we saw a year ago was on election night, Trump was leading in all of these swing states. And then they brought in mail-in ballots after midnight. They brought in the mail-in ballots, and then most of the swing states then turned and went for Biden, according to this. So that's the big question here. Now, if we weren't looking at mail-in ballots, I would look at these results and say, okay, right now Youngkin is ahead, but where are the votes that haven't been counted yet? And you look at, so the percentage that's counted across the state is 44, right? Something like that, 40-something percent. You look at the biggest county is Fairfax County, and that is in Northern Virginia, and it is a, it is a county that right now shows a 74 to 26% advantage to McAuliffe, the Democrat. It's Northern Virginia, it's liberal, and it's the biggest county, and it's only got 32% counted. So these rural counties, like you look right below it, Fauquier County, which is in the Blue Ridge Mountains, a couple counties past Fairfax going away from Washington, D.C., and Fauquier County has 66% counted. Now, it's got a much smaller population, but it's 72% for Youngkin and 28% for McAuliffe. So the thing is, the small rural counties count faster. And the votes that are left, I mean, Fairfax is big. Arlington, which is known by locals as the People's Republic of Arlington, it's just across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. Right now, that's 80% McAuliffe, 20% Youngkin. And it's at 40% counted, I guess because they're pretty efficient there. I don't know. But the thing is, you are going to see this tighten. The only thing is, my question is, a year ago, they counted the mail-in ballots late, right? Which was by design, and probably because a lot of these mail-in ballots were only cast late because they had to actually fill them out after the fact and fraudulently. Where we saw this was in the big black cities. Now, Virginia doesn't have big black cities. It's got Richmond, it's got Norfolk, which are medium-sized black cities. And I guess, Hampton maybe, and Norfolk or Newport News. But it really doesn't have the big black cities that can deliver countless, endless votes the way, say, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin and Georgia could. So at this point, I don't know, but here's the other thing: if McAuliffe loses, it's going to have a lot of repercussions. So I'll kick it back over to you.
Well, I went to vote.org, and I'll send you this on the break here. Request deadlines, absentee ballot deadlines, supposedly by mail received 11 days before election day, but then it goes under another section of ballot deadlines. Voted ballots are due, postmarked by election day, and received by noon 3 days after election day.
Okay.
So there is a provision for that. So there's a lot of room for hoaxing, but we are up on the break.
Are we up on the break? No, we're not.
I thought we were right on the break.
Nope, we got about another 9.5 minutes.
Well, let's just discuss this out then. So ballot deadlines, postmarked by election day and received by noon 3 days after. So that's really going to be the trick there, isn't it? If they're able to count these ballots. Because, you know, usually any ballots that, you know, mail-in ballots in the past, they would only count, you know, they wouldn't even consider them unless the race was very close. You know, or so, but now, though, they've got room to pull a 2020 and manufacture ballots. If they can receive these 3 days after election day.
Yeah, so you know, what we saw a year ago, it was in so many cases, it was clear fraud, right? So in Atlanta, in the big canvassing center in Fulton County, they declared some sort of water line break. They emptied everybody out about, 11:30 at night. And then as soon as they emptied the place out of observers, then the security cameras caught them wheeling out suitcases from underneath tables and proceeding to count into the night after they supposedly weren't counting. And somehow that was okay. Somehow that was baseless claims, even though we all saw the evidence. I mean, it was so bold and so blatant, and really so much was at stake. There's a lot more at stake in the presidential election than there is in a Virginia gubernatorial election. And so they were willing to be blatant, and they just lied in our faces. Now people are paying a lot more attention. So I don't know if they are willing to be that blatant. And B, you don't have the, like, Richmond is a black city, Norfolk's a black city, but they are small. I mean, like, neither one of them has more than like 250,000 people. So they're not. Like, Philadelphia is over 2 million, and Detroit's used to be over 1 million. It might be under 1 million now. They were able to really manufacture, and Atlanta's probably pretty close to 1 million, or Fulton County. So there's just not quite as much potential in Virginia, so I really don't know. And then the other thing is, in terms of people honestly casting ballots by mail, Virginia's, especially Northern Virginia, especially the Democrats, I mean, you do have this black population, but the liberals in Virginia are high educated. I mean, these Fairfax and Arlington counties, they have some of the highest college graduation rates in the country, and these are the type of people, the Democrats who would cast vote by mail, they're the type of people who would have cast their votes way early. So at this point, I really don't know. I don't know how much fraud there's going to be, and I don't know how it's going to turn out. I could see it, even without fraud, McAuliffe pulling it out, perhaps, but not necessarily.
Well, we've got another issue, and that's the Charlottesville trial that you and I touched on Sunday night. And by the way, there is you folks in the audience get a triple dose of Patrick and Jeremy if you want to go to the archives and check out Paul Stevenson's Last Man Standing show. Patrick and I covered for Paul as he was coming back from a conference with Mark Collett. And so you get triple Patrick and Jeremy if you count that Sunday night broadcast at 9 p.m. Central on RBN. Triple Patrick and Jeremy, that will inoculate you. A triple dose will inoculate you against the mainstream media lies and the COVID hoax. Definitely. But, you know, we got this Charlottesville thing. And last week, you know, I noticed that McCollin's crew, some, I guess, people that were working in his interest, put people out dressed up like the Charlottesville torch protesters and posing as neo-Nazis to try to make the Republican candidate look bad. So you've got that. But you got the Charlottesville trial going on, where Antifa have openly stated that this judge should have his teeth kicked in. That was some of the words they used, the violent words, if they don't rule in favor of the plaintiffs on this. So you got the usual suspects in Charlottesville trying to bring a civil suit against some individuals that were supposedly the leaders of the protests, like Richard Spencer, and then Chris Cantwell was in there, and who was the main guy, Patrick, that was on your show?
Jason Kessler.
So obviously an attempt to smear them and drain their bank accounts and put them into horrible debt. But also, this was a political stunt that I believe was coordinated just in time for this election. What say you to that?
Maybe, and maybe it will backfire. It may backfire in a different way. I mean, even if McAuliffe pulls it out, I don't know. I mean, McAuliffe is he's been exposed as such a liar and a sleazeball, and very anti-white. I mean, you know, saying the problem with our schools is we have too many white teachers. He's just going like really blatantly anti-white. And of course, he is not directly a party in the Charlottesville trial, but he was the governor. He issued a state of emergency that the rally participants obeyed, and they gave up on their rally. And their rally had been they had a court order upholding their permit, but they gave up and they went back to their cars, all the while being harassed and attacked by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, who didn't obey McCulloch's order, who stayed, who came armed, by the way. You had Redneck Revolt led by Professor Dwayne Dixon from UNC Chapel Hill, and he was there with his crew and their AR-15s and machetes, and you didn't have anybody armed like that on the rally side. And they stayed, and they occupied a park in plain view of the state troopers. And then after the rally participants left following the governor's orders, the Black Lives Matter and Antifa marched around saying whose streets are streets in full view of the state troopers under McAuliffe's command. So, I mean, McAuliffe, he took sides in this. He was a party to this. And, he is in this election campaign, has been exposed as being just completely anti-white, and this possibly, I'm not looking at the way the trial would impact the election. I'm looking at the way the election campaign could impact the trial. And the other thing is this Judge Moon, who's presiding over the trial, he's like 84 years old. People on his staff, like what do you call the people who work for
his clerks? They also write. Yeah, the clerks, they would write a lot of his judgments, too. Yeah. They would write it out.
And the clerks are friends with some of the plaintiffs. They are personal friends with the plaintiffs. So he should never, he should have recused himself. He should never be the judge for this. But he is. And so I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think the election campaign, maybe they thought this was going to be great timing, but I think the election campaign has exposed McAuliffe's anti-white nature, and I think that is probably overshadowing the trial. And I think the campaign will have more impact on the trial than vice versa, because I don't think the people in the campaign, I don't think the voters are at all focused on this trial. So I don't think the trial is really going to. I mean, they tried to. And to the extent people might have been, it's because you had the partisans for McAuliffe march out like these like fat people and blacks and a woman dressed up like what were they dressed up like? Identity Europa participants, rally participants with the tiki torches, and it completely backfired on them.
It will be interesting. Hey, I've been checking my time. I think we are up on that break.
Yes, we're at the break.
We'll be back on the other side on In Plain Sight.
Summer's gone, winter's in your eyes. I can feel the thunderstorms inside.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping
with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
And welcome back to In Plain Sight, the dynamic duo covering the election, the gubernatorial election in Virginia. There's also one in New Jersey, and I'm going to ask you later how significant that is. But we're on Virginia right now, and as we stated before, what really is going to be the player here is under ballot deadlines, and this is vote.org, voted ballots are due, postmarked by Election Day, and received by noon, 3 days after the election day. That's where we're going to get kicked in the balls right there. That's where the whole thing could come down, because they could easily, now you correct me if I'm wrong, couldn't they easily have gotten a bunch of ballots extra if they wanted to do fraud and have them postmarked by or on election day and then just have them on the ready, a bunch of fake ballots? Is there, I don't know if there's any rules in Virginia or laws that that would expose that if they have to check signatures or last four socials. What do you got on that?
So, I don't know. I'm trying to make... this is the wrong thing. I just don't know if they can get away with the same level of fraud, but I don't know... You know, they, even with a lesser level of fraud, how this is going to turn out. I'm looking at certain counties that, you know, I would think would be like a bellwether kind of county. And I at this point, I just can't say. Okay. Sorry.
Well, this is something we're going to have to hash out in a few days. Maybe you might have to come on with me on Friday night and interrupt Health and Wellness to analyze the official results once they get on these ballots in 3 days after the fact. I'm just saying, like, I'm a little fraud weary here, and I'm thinking that they're going to do that. So, but that's just me. But you know, what about this New Jersey race? How significant is that, or have you paid any attention to it?
I haven't paid too much attention. Phil Murphy, who's the incumbent, is, you know, he's just a reprehensible person. He was one of the most hardcore lockdown people. I guess he's going hardcore on vaccines. He's ex-Goldman Sachs. And I know that New Jersey has you know, over the past few decades, they elected Christy Whitman 2 times. She was a Republican. They elected Chris Christie 2 times. He was a Republican. So it shouldn't be impossible for a Republican to win, even though it's considered a very liberal state. There's an Italian guy, a guy with an Italian last name. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't have the results in front of me, so I can't say anything about it right now. If you give me a minute, I can, though.
Well, with New Jersey being, you know, that liberal, I would think that they, you know, it's within the realm of possibility that they could just vote business as usual. But if a Republican did take New Jersey, that definitely would be a referendum on the COVID restrictions, with New Jersey being one of the most strict states.
Well, yeah, I you would think typically that a Democratic governor would probably be able to win re-election pretty easily. Both of these are going to be pretty carefully watched. Obviously, there's fraud. The fraud is a wild card because we don't know how much fraud there's going to be. Like in the presidential election, New Jersey didn't need fraud. There might have been a lot of fraud, but it wasn't a swing state. They didn't need fraud. And, you know, New Jersey's, its population's changed a lot. You know, Newark and Camden have big black populations. Newark, maybe some of the other small cities in North Jersey near New York. But New Jersey, like, property values have gone way up. And so you've got an awful lot of, like, you've got a lot of immigrants. You've got a lot of rich Indians, for instance, you know, and Koreans and Chinese who are doing pretty well. So it's gotten very diverse. I don't know. Okay, well, we just took a look at the New Jersey results, and there's just not enough in yet to say anything.
Yeah, very small percentage, according to the New York Times, out of a population of, what, you said, over 9 million?
Something. 9 million, yeah.
Yeah, 131,530 reporting, yeah. With Murphy, the Democrat, being up 66.9%, and Jack, the Republican, 32.3%. So hard to say.
Yeah, hard to say.
But we got the break coming up, and I think on the other side of the break, we're going to cover how the anti-white narrative that we've been talking about for years is finally breaking into the mainstream, thanks to Virginia. So we'll be back on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
It is useless to resist us.
Hey, welcome back to the show. In plain sight, the dynamic duo hashing out the news and covering the gubernatorial elections. I think we'll let those mellow for now and check on them in the last segment of the show to give you some numbers. But right now, I wanted to talk about how the anti-white narrative has pushed its way into the mainstream, and people are talking about this. Fox News article, Loudoun County, very own Virginia there. Loudoun County mom says, 6-year-old asked her if she was born evil because she's white. And she said that the mom said at a school board meeting this month that she pulled her children from the public school system after her 6-year-old asked her if she was born evil because she's white. We've had specifically moved them out of the London County public school system due to the swift and uncompromising political agenda of Superintendent Williams Ziegler, and the school board had forced this upon us. First, it was in the early spring of 2020 when my 6-year-old somberly came to me and asked if she was born evil because she was a white person, something she learned in a history lesson at school. The mother said this at a school board meeting on October 26th. Videos of her testimony has since spread on social media. So Patrick, something you and I were talking about back in August, when our schools were starting up in mid-August, and myself and a bunch of other parents were going to these school board meetings and speaking out against COVID restrictions, mask mandates, and CRT being pushed in our schools. And we had great results in Kentucky. Our state legislature won a great victory in limiting the governor's emergency powers to 30 days and giving the local school boards in each county the right to determine COVID measures in their particular schools. That was a huge victory, and the state Supreme Court backed them up. And so we have this also in Virginia, how these school board meetings and parents speaking out definitely, I think, is going to affect the election there in Virginia, the gubernatorial election. What are your thoughts on this?
So the school boards has been one of the if we manage to pull this thing out in terms of at least the corona apocalypse or restoring the republics, the school board meetings are going to be, you know, one of the turning points. They're, I think it's hard to overstate their importance, because things like rallies were completely shut down because of Charlottesville and things like that. So rallies, they weren't happening. And then we got into this whole corona apocalypse, and everything was being locked down, and it was very, very difficult to do anything in real life. And there's so much censorship on social media and everywhere else. And these school board meetings have served the purpose, the same purpose that a couple decades ago, say demonstrations, like they're giant anti-war demonstrations that not only is something people can participate in, but also attracts a lot of news. And so I really think you can't overstate their importance. They've been extremely important. And also, they've gotten out a lot of information because people didn't know. I mean, you can talk about critical race theory, but you weren't hearing details. And the trannyism. People are going to these school board meetings, reading from books in the library that are all about, like, you know, pornographic gay sex, including illustrations, and then you'll have the school board chairwomen, because it always seems to be women, trying to kick the have the parent arrested, but it's making the news and people are finding out about it. So it really is a big deal.
And this prompted Merrick Garland to seek the FBI on these parents attending school board meetings and speaking out against this, calling them domestic terrorists. That sure blew back in his face. But I mean, I'm actually read that Merrick Garland admitted that he read an article, an op-ed in the New York Times. And that's what one of the things he based his decision on to come after parents, reading op-eds. I mean, does this man not know how to, like, read law books and understand what's legal and what you can and can't do? This Jew, this disgusting Jew, is sticking the FBI on these good parents who are speaking out for the betterment of their students and pushing back against this degeneracy. I mean, it really is crazy. But one of the things I wanted to bring out, too, is not only was it the anti-white agenda that the mother spoke of in when she was addressing the school board in Loudoun County, but here's some more statements that she made. She's very well spoken, by the way. She said, "Then you kept the schools closed for a year and a half, despite the science." Despite the science stating that the children, you know, were, it was safe for them to return. And so she's sort of, you know, this whole coronavirus measures and the COVID hoax is dovetailing with the anti-white agenda, and people are seeing this. You know, they're making that connection, and it's making the mainstream news. And so I think, as dark as the picture has been painted for America, this is the white pill, is that people are waking up. They're talking about it, and the news has to cover it. Fox News has to cover this.
Yeah, so
that's really the point that I wanted to bring up on that.
Yeah, and so that is the point. The point is that so many avenues of, you know, our conventional avenues of expressing ourselves, whether it's through, you know, rally or mass demonstrations, through social media more recently, so much has been shut down, and this was an opening, and people seized it, and, you know, it's been going on around the country. You know, Kentucky, there was a focus on Kentucky. Now there's this focus on Virginia and a few other places. And this has been really, really important, because with all the censorship and all the shutdowns, this has been something that they really couldn't shut down. And also because normies, especially like white people with children, who, you know, white people tend to have high investment parenting. And these people, maybe they only have one kid, but they've got a lot invested in that one kid, and you've got not just thousands of years of civilization's worth of concern about your children. You've got like hundreds of millions of years of evolutionary concern for your children. I mean, this is something that's just, it is so deeply ingrained, especially, you know, there's low investment parenting populations in the United States, but these people who go to the school board meeting are not that. And so it's been a big deal.
It really has been a great platform, you know, to push up from the very, you know, roots of America, the very salt of the earth, Americans, to push up against the system and to actually get noticed by the media and politicians, and they're reacting to that. You know, case in point, the Merrick Garland FBI fiasco. So this leads me to ask, how many more of our talking points are going to enter into the mainstream? Maybe Jewish power. And with that comment, I wanted to pivot over, if you would, to Trump, who was on this podcast, this Jewish Guys podcast, Ari. Let's see, I've got an article about it here in a YouTube clip, and we may have to pause to load up the clip. But Trump had a bit of a Biden moment on this podcast. And Times of Israel covered it. Basically, Trump was on this this podcast, and he openly stated that Israel literally owned Congress a decade ago, and today it's the opposite. Times of Israel covered this, and we do have a YouTube article or a YouTube clip. It says here, ex-U.S. president reiterates claim that before he left office, countries were lining up to join the Abraham Accords. And he laments the lack of support for him from United States Jews. Let's see if I can find Ari Hoffman. That was the podcast that he was on. And Trump claimed that Israel literally owned Congress until roughly a decade ago, whereas today it's the almost the opposite. Now, I call it a Biden moment because it reminisces of the time when Biden, so philo-Semitic, you know, wanted to give credit to the Jews for bringing homosexuality into the United States.
I saw the clip, and Trump says that Israel owned Congress, which was a good thing.
Yeah. But then, of course, he indicates that ownership stopped. Now, he's a decade ago. What was a decade ago? Well, that was in the middle of the Obama administration. So I guess the implication there was that, well, you know, Israel was able to control this our Congress until Obama took office, and now we've got the squad. But I mean, you know, and so that's his way of being philo-Semitic. Like, he's exposing Jewish power inadvertently, I guess. And then he's leading normies to wrong conclusions. Number one, making them think that Jewish power controlling our Congress was good. And number two, making them think that it has stopped just because he's out of office and now we have the squad. But the squad was shut down very fast. I mean, Israel still got all of their money, you know, despite members of the squad protesting in tears. They were brought to heel, were they not?
Pretty much. I mean, AOC for sure in tears, literally in tears. Yeah. I guess Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, you know, they're both Muslims and they're not particularly high IQ or anything, but you know, they have their ethnic and religious solidarity with the Palestinians. But the you know, the non-Muslim squad members, I guess the bald-headed black lady, whatever her name was, Presley, Ileana Presley or something, whatever her name is, Ariana Presley, and Sandy Cortez, I'm pretty sure they both buckled. I know Sandy Cortez did.
Yeah. So Trump always wanting to be like the toughest guy in the room, and you know, the guy, and in his mind, pro-Israel is the best, is the toughest guy. And so the narrative he's painting is, oh, look, Israel had control of our Congress, and that's a good thing, until a decade ago during the Obama administration. And then Trump tried to set that right with the Abraham Accords, but then he was pushed out of office, and now the squad you know, is controlling things. That's sort of his narrative.
It's hard to know exactly what he was trying to say, because Trump does not speak very clearly. And, you know, one thing you had, what year would it have been? Like 2014, 2015? Maybe it was 2015. I think it was 2015 where you had the Iran nuclear accord. And of course, Trump was against it, but he was saying he was against it because our oil companies weren't getting a deal out of it, you know, that type of thing. But if you recall, Congress under, maybe it was a little bit earlier, but Congress under John Boehner had invited, and by the way, Anthony Weiner, like everybody called him John Boehner, but Anthony Weiner said, just own it. Just own it, John. It's John Boehner. So, Boehner had invited Netanyahu over, and typically, according to protocol, the invitation to a foreign head of state should come from the American head of state, right? And it didn't. It was Boehner who invited him over, basically went around Obama and had Netanyahu come and address a joint session of Congress. And Netanyahu triumphantly stood in front of the joint session of Congress before he started his speech. You know, he's getting this wild standing ovation. And he said, how many votes could we get to change the Constitution so you could have an Israeli president? 300? 400? How many could we get? Which was really, really obnoxious. But everybody kept clapping, right? And so there he was. He had not been invited by the president. And he was talking in front of Congress about how much more popular he was in Congress than the president. Which was, I mean, you talk about a flex, right? And it's very obnoxious. But, I mean, yeah, he owned Congress.
I mean, BB and Trump are very similar in that, you know, that they're alpha male, you know, unpredictable. They can say anything. Hey, let's roll that clip. It's interesting to hear it come from his mouth. Are you able to load that clip up and let's get it rolled on the recording?
Yes.
Well, you know, the biggest change I've seen in Congress is Israel literally owned Congress. You understand that 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And it was so powerful. It was so powerful. And today it's almost the opposite. You have between AOC and Omar and these people that hate Israel. They hate it with a passion. They're controlling Congress. And Israel is not a force in Congress anymore. It's just amazing. I've never seen such a change. And we're not talking about over a very long period of time. But I think you know exactly what I'm saying. They had such power. Israel had such power. And rightfully, over Congress, and now it doesn't. It's incredible, actually.
And rightfully.
I was about to say, and rightfully, you want to justify that? Like, why does a foreign country rightfully have control of the United States Congress? So, I mean, on the one hand, you know, this is Trump being overly philosynetic and trying to be, you know, I'm Trump, I'm the alpha male, I'm the best for Israel, I'm the best for conservatives. But on the other hand, how many normies could we wake up by playing this clip to them when we try to expose Jewish power to them and they're like, oh, no, it can't be. And then, you know, there you go. You play this clip of Trump openly admitting that, even though he's not being accurate. I mean, they still run Congress and they have for much longer than just a few decades. But, you know, here you have it right out of the horse's mouth, as it were.
You know, honestly, I think you might even do better waking up lefty normies with that than conservative normies, because a lot of lefty normies would bristle at that Israel, not that they're so much predisposed against Israel, but a lot of the conservative boomers, and I don't like bad-mouthing the boomers, but unfortunately it's true, a lot of them just have this knee-jerk praise for Israel and, you know, the evangelicals as well. Rightfully so. They would agree with that sentiment.
But yeah, you could definitely use this either left or right and try to, you know, demonstrate, you know, that, yeah, Jewish power is real. And then when they balk at it or you know, you could also point out, well, so he says it's only been for that, you know, a decade ago and it's not true now, but then you point out just what we were talking about. Look at the squad. Look how fast they were shut down and brought to heel.
Yep. So we are.
Yeah, let's take that break and we'll come back on the other side and analyze the results of the gubernatorial election.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. And we're back to Endpoint Sight, last segment of the show. And as of 9:01 Eastern Time, what do we have going on in Virginia, Patrick?
Well, I think we're going to be going to bed with this. They'll call it too close to call, but they're, right now it seems like Youngkin, as with 64% reporting, Youngkin's got like an 11-point lead.
Okay.
And but of course, where are the votes not coming in from? Last time I checked, there was nothing from Richmond, and Richmond's a black city, but it's not a huge black city. And when we talk about this 11-point lead, we're talking about almost 200,000 votes at this point. And where could that be made up? You know, it could be, you might be able to make up, say, 60,000 votes or so in Fairfax, or especially depending on how these mail-in ones go. You can, could make up some in Richmond. You can make up some in Norfolk. But it's at this point, you'll have to have I think that McAuliffe cannot win without 2020 style fraud.
Exactly.
But you can't rule out that. You can't rule out that.
And so we went to bed on election night in 2020 thinking that Trump had it.
Well, we didn't really, because you, as you recall, we were on the Red Pill Hardcore.
Yes.
We were watching the results come in, and we had seen already the votes had stopped. They weren't being counted in Detroit. They stopped in Detroit. They stopped in Philadelphia. They stopped in at least Fulton County, part of Atlanta. They stopped in Milwaukee, and those were worrisome. And we were already talking about that on election night.
Right. We, you and I didn't go to bed, but John Q. Public in America went to bed.
Yeah.
On election night 2020, thinking Trump had this, because nobody like understood the full like gambit of election fraud that was about to hit them right in the face and kick them right in the balls. Days later, wasn't it? As the results just kept pouring in these fake ballots. So, and that was the crux of it, wasn't it? Was the fake ballots. I don't know what Cindy Powell and the crack and all that nonsense was focused on the Dominion machines, but the real focus should have been on the fake ballots.
Yeah, and I think the focus on, to the extent there was focus on the machines, that I think the machines are problematic, but they just never produced the evidence, as far as I can tell. I had a friend who said, "Oh, he read the affidavits or whatever, and that there really was something to it, and there might have been something to it, but they never produced it." And so, what did you get? You got people like Tucker Carlson, who denounced. You know, he said, "I've invited Powell on. She won't come on. She won't produce the evidence." And then he just backed off the whole election fraud thing. And so I think they were actually counterproductive. Powell, Mike Lindell. I like Mike Lindell, but he's a boomer and he's a former crackhead. Linwood and who's the other person involved? I don't think they were helpful.
And just for that, I'm not ordering that damn pillow.
Yeah.
I don't care how good it is.
New Jersey, only 13% reporting. It's hard to say. I look at like a county like Ocean County, with has more reporting, but some of these counties close to New York, there's nothing in, and so
yeah,
there's nothing to talk about there. But I think
we're at the end of the show in part two of Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow on National Bugle, 1 p.m. Central. Be there, be queer. Y'all have a classy night.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central. And Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.